Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
The Secret Service didn't place a single agent on the roof?
We are still looking into the advance process and the decisions that were made.
Okay. Wasn't that building within the perimeter that should be secured? Do we agree with that?
The building was outside of the perimeter on the day of the visit. But again, that is one of the things that during the investigation we want to take a look at and determine whether or not other decisions should have been made.
Basic questions, no real answers. Why was there a guy on the roof? How did he get up on the roof? How long in advance did you know he was on the roof? Why was he able to walk around with a rangefinder? When was he identified as a threat? Who knew he was a threat? Did you communicate that he was a threat? Who dropped the ball? Who needs to get fired? I'm just here to tell the truth.
I will be transparent as possible when I speak with you.
When's that exactly? Because I didn't hear it yesterday. 7,500 sites they've secured so far this year. So the Secret Service does an enormous task, protecting 36 regulars plus visiting dignitaries like Netanyahu, $3.1 billion budget, and 8,000 employees. The Secret Service is a massive force. Okay? And yet, what happened on that day? Jamie Raskin?
It's been reported that before former President Trump got up on the stage at around 6 p.m. on Saturday, July 13th, that the local police had identified and even photographed a man who was acting suspiciously. And this man, who turned out to be the gunman, had been flagged as a potential threat. Is that accurate?
What I can say is that the individual was identified as suspicious.
So he was known to be suspicious before former President Trump took the stage.
That is the information I have received.
Okay, and I understand the difference between suspicious and a threat. I mean, suspicious needs investigation, a threat needs action. I mean, that's fine. And that's kind of how she explained it. But also they got under the issue of additional resources being requested, which she said, well, not on that day. You mean, like, in the past, though? Because you had denied that that was the case. We've had all that reporting. What about the gun? Did you know he had a gun?
The Secret Service did not know that the gunman actually had a weapon before President Trump was allowed to get up on the stage.
To the best of our knowledge and the facts that we have at this point, that is correct.
So we didn't know he had a gun when he climbed up onto the roof of the building that the local PD had staged their sniper response unit in and was using as headquarters. No, what did they think? It was a squirrel, a raccoon. Nobody could hear on the dangerously sloped roof that made it too dangerous to put your people up on, even though other Republicans, particularly Pat Fallon, pointed out that the slope roof is, I mean, just, it's the all of it yesterday. I really wanted to hear the information. I really wanted to learn something. I really wanted to give me confidence. Give me confidence that you can protect the vice president, the former vice president, the chillins. You know, give me confidence that you know how to do your job. I developed even more anti-confidence yesterday because, listen, the incompetence of the answers matches the incompetence of the protection that we saw with the president. And as I've said many times, at a certain point, incompetence isn't incompetence. Incompetence is something else. And when somebody shows up on Capitol Hill to do this testimony this way, you eventually start to wonder, well, is she dumb? I don't think she's dumb. And so then you start to wonder, well, what's she hiding? You know what? I mean, right? What does she know that she's not saying? I want to take full accountability, but I'm not going to resign. What now? I'm going to take full accountability, but nobody's getting punished and I can't promise to fire anybody. The what now? It's weird to the point that you ask questions about, well, is it more than just weird?
So can you answer this question, which I think is on the mind of most Americans thinking about this? How can a 20-year-old with his father's AR-15 assault weapon climb onto a roof with a direct 150-yard line of sight to the speaker's podium without the Secret Service or local police stopping him?
So again, sir, I will say we are 9 days out from this event, and I would like to know those answers as well, which is why we are going through these investigations to be able to determine that fully.
So nothing. Nothing. How did this happen? Nothing. Jim Jordan grills her? Nothing. Oh, by the way, you know, side note on all of this, you know what the Democrats tried to do yesterday? So discouraging. You have a genuinely bipartisan moment where you can just focus on how a former president was almost assassinated by what is at the very least an inept protective effort, and at the very most, much worse than just inept, right? That people were involved, okay? It's somewhere in between those two or involving those two, right? Okay? So you have a chance to really pursue this and be together on all this, and instead what you're talking about is the gun.
The shooter at the Trump rally used the mass shooter's gun of choice, an assault weapon, specifically an AR-15 style rifle, and presumably a large capacity magazine, which is defined in D.C. as a magazine that can hold more than 10 bullets.
Okay, Eleanor Holmes Norton, please go back to your whole, wherever that came from. Just please stop. First of all, saying presumably on the clip size, on the magazine size, good Lord. Plus, even if it were only 10, he was only allowed to get off, what, 6 to 8 shots, right? So what is the size of the magazine? Just, ugh. And Jamie Raskin, same thing. They wanted to turn it into, now, to his credit, he also calls for her to resign. Everybody is calling for her to resign, as far as I can tell. And, you know, but even so, talking about the weapon, that the weapon was the issue. Look, you know, just, I'm going to take a breath. I'm going to do traffic on the 5. John Pickens, go on, John.
If you're at the intersection of Airport and Davis, we're seeing some delays in all directions there. So just be aware of that. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. Even Highway 90 in Pace looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Back to the conversation yesterday with the Secret Service Director, Kim Cheadle, who is asked by Virginia Fox, a Republican, says,
"You said on July 15 that the buck stops with me. How are you taking accountability for the Secret Service's failures during the July 13 assassination attempt on President Trump?"
I have taken accountability, and I will continue to take accountability. I am responsible for leading the agency, and I am responsible for finding the answers to how this event occurred and making sure that it doesn't happen again.
Does she think accountability is a pill you take, like every 4 hours? The accountability that she has taken, this is exactly a logical translation of everything she said. The accountability is her saying that she's taking accountability. Period. If you say I'm responsible, then I'm responsible. If you say I'm taking accountability, then you've taken accountability and nothing else is necessary. That's the logical position that she's taking, which of course is, what's the word I want? Insane. Nobody believes that. You know, there was a point later on, Jared Moskowitz, who I really like, he's a Democrat. He was a former director of emergency management for the state. And he was the one who asked her, can you commit to firing them? No, you're basically going down the trajectory of being like the Harvard University presidents who showed up here and couldn't answer simple questions. And they wound up getting resigned. He asked her at one point,
let me ask this question a different way. If Trump had been assassinated that day, if the gunman had succeeded, okay, would you have come and tendered your resignation?
I would still be sitting here because I would want to ensure the integrity of the investigation.
Totally understand. That's a fair answer that you would have set up that process. But would you have had the honor to come in front of the committee and say, former president was assassinated on my watch, there should be new leadership?
I think that I have admitted that there was
No, that's what I'm asking. Would you have tendered your resignation if he had been killed?
And the answer has to be yes. But because she got lucky, or because God intervened, or because of whatever you want to say, Trump turned his head, that's the difference between her keeping and not keeping her job? That's not really a good justification. So they asked her about the sloped roof.
So here's this thing with the slopes. You go all up to like 1812. You can go to a 112, which is about as flat as you can get.
These are roof slope descriptions.
And you're saying that there was a danger, safety concern there. But the problem is, Director, you put your counter snipers on a 312 roof, which is steeper than the 112. And by the way, the 112 is ADA compliant. You can build a ramp for a wheelchair on a 112 roof. So these are nothing but pathetic excuses, and they make no sense, and they're a bunch of cow dung.
I believe the 112, 212, 312, I think is like height, like 1 foot, 2 foot for every 12 foot of length. So, you know, 112 is a very low angle, 312 is a higher angle. What he's saying is like, a 112 roof is ADA compliant, and you couldn't put Secret Service agents up there?
So these are nothing but pathetic excuses, and they make no sense, and they're a bunch of cow dung. All the law enforcement I've spoken with over the last 9 days are amazed that the AGR rooftop was not secure. And you want to know why? Because it's dangerous.
Yeah, exactly. And Nancy Mace was a little bit more blunt in her comments.
Speaking your opening statement to Punchbowl News, Politico's Playbook, and Washington Post several hours before you sent it to this committee as being political, yes or no?
I have no idea how my statement got out.
Well, that. Have you provided all audio and video recordings in your possession to this committee, as we asked on July 15th, yes or no?
I would have to get back to you.
That is a no. You're full today. You're just being completely dishonest.
Mr. Chairman, I want to...
Come on. We
have to maintain decorum in this committee, no matter how upset we get.
Have you provided any and all memos to this committee that we've asked you on July 15th? Have you provided all memorandums within the Secret Service?
I would have to get back to you on
that. That is a no. You are being dishonest or lying. You're being dishonest here with this committee. These are important questions that the American people want answers to, and you're just dodging.
Look, I am generally not a fan of the attack dog type hearings, but it was perfectly justified because she was not participating. She was not telling what she knows. The way this should have gone, by the way, is she should have shown up with a narrative. Congressman, this is everything I know. We failed. It's my fault. I am willing to resign. I think I should resign. I mean, there was a part where somebody asked her, do you think you're the best person to be in this job? And she said, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I definitely. Like, what? Are you crazy? There's nobody better in the whole country. Anyway, this is an amazing point. She should have shown up and said, here's what we know. We know he had a rangefinder. By the way, the rangefinder is an allowed item. Well, who makes those rules? Secret Service Director. we know he used a drone. Well, how did he use a drone? Well, who makes those rules? There was one part where they said he visited the site more than you did, which is possibly true. But she should have shown up and said, here's what we know. This is what happened. This is what happened. This is what failed. This is what we tried to do. This is what failed. This is what happened. This is what happened. And then they can ask questions within that context. And then she can say, well, I don't know that yet, or I haven't learned that yet, or I can't say that because it reveals sources and methods, and I don't want to talk about that. Or I can go in a closed-door session with you if you like, Congressman. But she didn't do any of that. And all the most obvious questions, she had no answer. Even dumb things like, well, how many times have you turned the Trump campaign down for requests for additional resources? She didn't have an answer for that. And Jim Jordan's like, that's a basic question you should know coming to this hearing, and you don't have an answer for that? Maybe they stop asking because they get tired of getting told no. Fair. So there was one point that I found particularly compelling in this that just having to do with the real danger, like understanding how close we came to losing Trump. Okay, this is Pat Fallon. He was one who was talking a moment ago about the sloped roofs, and the law enforcement say it's outrageous.
I have never had any long gun training in my life. I own an AR-15, and last time I shot it one time my whole life was 6 years ago. That is until Saturday, where we recreated the events in Savoy, Texas, where you recreated what happened to Butler. I was lying prone on a sloped roof at 130 yards at 6:30 at night. And I knew that he had a scope. I didn't know what kind, red dot or magnified. So I shot 8 rounds from both. You know what the result was? 15 out of 16 kill shots. And the one I missed would have hit the president's ear. That's a 94% success rate. And that shooter was a better shot than me. It is a miracle President Trump wasn't killed. Corey, compared Torrey's life is over because that damn shooter made it on the roof. And it wasn't the roof that was dangerous. It was the nut job on top of the roof. You know what else is dangerous? I believe your horrifying ineptitude and your lack of skilled leadership is a disgrace. Your obfuscating today is shameful. And you should be fired immediately and go back to Garden Doritos. Mr. Chairman, I yield back.
I just can't even disagree with any of it. So we are now in a baffling circumstance where the Secret Service is not capable of doing their job. Letting a shot get off is failure. I mean, duh. Letting 6 to 8 get off is unbelievable failure. Letting the former president and get shot, 3 other people get shot, including one killed, is unbelievable failure. For a job, there's one mission, and they failed. And people need to be fired, including her. There has to be accountability. 437-1620, 437-1620. By the way, we're just getting at there with the scope versus the red dot has to do with whether you magnify the target and how much accuracy you have. That gun at that range is plenty accurate. It's a little more difficult to get it to be super accurate when you don't have a magnifying scope on there, but it doesn't really matter, as he was explaining and as the sheriffs have told us as well. 726 on News Radio Pensacola. John's got traffic for us. John?
No accidents to let you know about right now, but if you're traveling on Johnson Avenue and Davis, we're seeing some backups on Johnson Avenue. Also, Johnson Avenue and University Parkway are seeing some backups. Other than that, traffic's rolling good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Are you rushing to an appointment? Have you been late for an appointment? Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto man once to die." Unless Christ returns in our lifetime, we all have an appointment with death that none of us will be late for. Possibly the most remarkable thing about Jesus Christ is that he conquered death. He died, but 3 days later, up from the grave, he arose. It is because of his sinless life, substitutionary death, and resurrection from the grave that he now offers sinners like me and you eternal life in heaven with him. I urge you, don't delay. Confess your sin to him and call upon Christ today so that you are prepared for this appointment.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Thinking about a side hustle? Why not turn your hobby into a home-based business with a home embroidery machine from Daryl's of Pensacola? Daryl's Sewing has many embroidery machines to choose from, and they have single-needle or multi-needle machines, plus plenty of thread and supplies. Financing is available. Daryl's Sewing, 6705 North Davis Highway between Creighton and Burgess. Online at sewinginpensacola.com. The folks at Daryl's say, when you buy from us, you get from us. That's sewinginpensacola.com.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. We have a team of experienced broadcast experts who are dedicated to keeping you informed about the latest weather conditions and forecasts. We'll provide you with up-to-the-minute updates on any developing storms, as well as safety tips and information on how to prepare for a hurricane. So for the latest hurricane coverage, stay tuned to News Radio Pensacola on AM 1620, 92.3, 95.3, and on HD Radio at 98.7. We'll keep you safe.
2018, Congressman Matt Gaetz flies off to the Bahamas on a private trip to meet a marijuana investor and at least 5 young female escorts, among them the teenage girl. The investor made millions thanks to Gaetz's marijuana bill. But that's how you do business with the real Matt Gaetz. Florida Patriots PAC paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. FloridaPatriotsPAC.com.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You guys, you lollygag the ball around the infield. You lollygag your way down to first. You lollygag in and out of the dugout. Do you know what that makes you, Larry?
Lollygaggers.
Lollygaggers.
Good morning, 729 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, world leaders reacting after President Biden dropped his bid for re-election last Sunday amid increasing pressure from Democrats.
German Chancellor Olaf Scholz thanked Biden for supporting transatlantic cooperation, saying thanks to his work, NATO is strong and the USA is a good and reliable partner for Berlin.
Stuart Smith reporting there, and Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau called Biden a great man. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky thanked Biden for his unwavering support in their war against Russia.
Very good. We got Storm Folk performing tonight at Bands on the Beach, 7 o'clock at the Gulfside Pavilion. Always a good show for Bands on the Beach, and of course, all through the season. We've got Chief Deputy Tommy Leiter in studio coming up next from the Escambia Sheriff's Office.
News, MCJ Papa Vice President Harris is the presumptive Democratic nominee. Today she travels to Wisconsin.
Her campaign says Vice President Harris's visit will highlight the choice facing Wisconsinites between Donald Trump, the convicted felon who would drag this country backwards, and her brighter vision for the future where our freedoms are protected and every American has a fair shot.
Fox's Jackie Hine, we're the president in Delaware. He'll soon leave to return to the White House, ending his COVID lockdown. Republican Vice Presidential nominee J.D. Vance stumping for votes in Virginia.
History will remember Joe Biden as not just a quitter, which he is, but one of the worst presidents of the United States of America. But my friends, Kamala Harris is a million times worse.
The Transportation Department says it opens an investigation into the widespread flight cancellations at Delta Airlines since last week's Microsoft tech meltdown. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 731 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 79 degrees. It is mostly cloudy this morning. The Santa Rosa County Commissioner Colton Wright speaking out against the idea of a straw poll in November to appease citizens both for and against the incorporation of Navarre during yesterday's committee meeting. He took State Representative Joel Rudman to task.
We have a state representative that's pushing for this, that's not communicating effectively with a state representative that also represents the district. We have a state representative pushing this that wants it, but doesn't want to take it on himself and take all the heat and run the bill. He wants to put it on us because it puts two gentlemen at odds with two other gentlemen that are running for the seat that he's openly endorsing. This is absolutely a political stunt.
And earlier this month, Rudman addressed the board asking them to put a non-binding referendum on the ballot to settle the matter. Wright says Rudman can file a bill in Tallahassee if he'd like to, but says he doesn't want to deal with the negative backlash. Florida Republicans and Democrats now both sounding off as President Biden has bowed out of the presidential race. Congresswoman Maria Elvira Salazar says it's not fair to the registered Democrats that voted for Biden to be their nominee.
What they're doing is a political coup by the elites, the Clintons, the Obamas, and the rest of the donors.
Democrats, though, disagree. Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz said the party stands solidly behind Kamala Harris. Party Chair Nikki Fried said Harris's record speaks for itself. The Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office issuing a fraud alert to the public on a suspect that's currently in custody in Gadsden County, 34-year-old Aaron Carrillo. He's charged with grand theft, contracting without a license, and failing to obtain building permits throughout the Florida Panhandle, Alabama, and even in Louisiana. Investigators say he'd been operating under a business name, Trey Carrillo's LLC. He's alleged to have taken a $19,000 job for a home that required a contractor's license and an electrical license. He also failed to get the proper permits and permit inspections, then caused an estimated $50,000 in damage to the house that he was working on. The sheriff's office there encouraging anybody who previously conducted business with Aaron Carrillo or Trey Carrillo LLC to contact them with more information. First Lady Casey DeSantis says it's easier than ever for law enforcement officers to get the help they need. DeSantis addressing the Florida Sheriff's Association in Orlando yesterday. She said those who need help and aren't sure where to start can call one phone number for Hope Florida. DeSantis said that Hope Florida is a simple way for law enforcement to connect those who need help with those who are ready to offer assistance. And scuba diving appears to be getting more popular with women. Emerald Coast Scuba in Okaloosa County held a special dive event last Saturday. It was International Women's Dive Day, and Apparently more than 20 women showed up for that event in Destin. Nicole Schmidt is a diver, has been for about 50 years now, and says she's noticing more women getting involved in the sport. It is 7:35. News Radio Pensacola. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly right now. If you're on Highway 29, we've got a vehicle crash with injuries on Highway 29 and Industrial Boulevard. Not known the roadblock yet, but that's going to cause you some delays. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We will have scattered showers and thunderstorms throughout the day today with a 70% chance of rain. Highs reaching 89 degrees in the afternoon. Overnight temperatures dropping near 76. For Wednesday, 80% chance of rain. High near 88. Wednesday night temperatures dropping near 76 degrees. High rain chances continue into Thursday with an 80% chance of rain. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 79 right now in Pensacola. 76 in Gulf Breeze. Also 76 in Milton. And now a look at our financial market report.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. CrowdStrike shares slipped 13% during yesterday's trading session as the cybersecurity software company continued to help clients across industries recover from an outage that took millions of Microsoft Windows devices offline. The faulty update resulted in grounded flights and canceled medical appointments across the country. CrowdStrike said it is in the middle of pulling back the faulty update and fixing the issue. Wiz has walked away from a $23 billion deal to be acquired by Google in what would have been the search giant's largest ever acquisition. Instead, the company told employees it will pursue an IPO as previously planned. A person familiar with Wiz's thinking cited antitrust and investor concerns as part of the reasoning for abandoning the deal. Wiz co-founder Asaf Rappaport said the company will now focus on the initial public offering and $1 billion in annual recurring revenue. Futures are mixed. Monday, the Dow Industrials gained 127. That's your money now.
And it's 7:37. Your next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio Pensacola.
Just in time for the summer season, Pete Moore Imports has new Volkswagens being delivered daily with cool savings on their most popular models. Drive the family-sized 2024 Atlas or Atlas Cross Sport with 0.9% APR for 60 months or take $3,500 in customer cash. The mid-sized Tiguan available now with 1.9% APR for 60 months or $2,500 in customer cash. And the sporty Taos crossover with the same 1.9% APR or $2,000 in customer cash. Plus, the four-door Jetta sedan with amazing fuel economy, performance, and style has $2,000 in customer cash or an APR rate of 2.9 for 60 months. This Volkswagen lineup will take you through summer with cooler savings than before at Pete Moore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Pete Moore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Special APR rate for qualifying credit through PCI. See dealer for details.
Hands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, happens each Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite band. This Tuesday, it's Stormfolk. They're an alternative folk band that combines a singer-songwriter feel with folk, bluegrass, rock, and pop. Pants on the Beach this Tuesday night at 7 with Stormfolk. Remember, no pets or glass allowed.
When America needed a hero, we turned to conservative Aaron Dimmock. A decorated combat pilot, Dimmock led missions against cartels in the Gulf. He'll take that fight to Biden's open border chaos. He's pro-life, pro-gun, and pro-Trump. Because Aaron Dimmock's a conservative fighter we can be proud of. Florida Patriots PAC, paid for, and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. FloridaPatriotsPAC.com.
News Radio Pensacola.
Your home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Start your mornings off with the award-winning Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, followed by the Pensacola Expert Panel. Then get informed and laugh from 11 till 2 with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, followed by the Guy Benson Show. Your afternoon drive is anchored by Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin, followed by Dave Ramsey. It's News Radio Pensacola, heard on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Good morning, 7:40 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's good to be back home, talking in the studio with my producer instead of in the hotel room in Milwaukee trying to cover the convention, which I will do again for the DNC, because I will. That's, I think, necessary. Although, weirdly, now it's not as interesting a thing because it looks like it's just going to be, Kamala Harris, and so maybe all the hubbub is going to die away by the next 2 weeks. We'll see. Joining me here in studio today, we have Chief Deputy Tommy Leiter for the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, former PPD Chief. Chief, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Always good to have you. And for those who care, we were in LEAP together, Leadership Pensacola, Class 2016, best class ever.
Best class ever.
So I appreciate that. Let's talk. Okay. I don't want to say this because I know you guys hate it when I say it, but it's kind of been quiet this week.
You know, it is interesting when you say that. And I think I'll say pushback, but the pause in our voices, there's so much going on.
Well, you also have the superstition kind of the don't say it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a big part of it. And it's not necessarily newsworthy. We made some great narcotics arrests, traffic stop narcotics arrests, but that's a small fraction of what we're going on. There's 721 employees. 438 of us are sworn. We're in the middle of block training right now. So we just did active shooter training. That's a heavy lift.
Where did you do that at? Was it a school this year?
We didn't do a school this year. We'll hit a school next year, bring in the real-time crime center because they have access to cameras. So we'll pick a location that we're the training for real-time crime center as well.
Oh, okay.
And we can integrate the cameras. And how well does that integrate?
Yeah, that makes sense. Right.
All the pieces are there, but if you don't train on it,
you won't use them right under a crisis, right? Yeah,
exactly. You go in stress situations, you're going to go back to your training. There's so much. About 90%, maybe 95% of what our narcotics unit's doing, we'll never be able to talk about on the radio. We have some phenomenal. Every single day they go to work, they're swinging for the fences. It's just great police work. And I sit here on the radio and say, it's a quiet day.
Yeah.
And, our intel units working every day, our investigators with the open some of our open homicide cases and just our major cases that we're working. They don't spend a day on it and then move on. It's a months long, multiple deputies tie into it. We get briefings every morning on it, weekly on some of the big stuff. There's a lot of work going on.
I have a weird abstract question for you that you make me think of all of a sudden. As you were talking, I was thinking about all of the daily work that goes on, like showing up to a domestic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got a domestic disturbance. You show up, your officers de-escalate, they either resolve their problems or they split up or whatever. Okay, every outcome can be different. And it made me think about the crimes you prevent, the situations you thwart by your presence, by your training, by working with people that don't become a news, okay? Which to me, that's a win, right? That's the success. I mean, yes, catching somebody after they've done something bad is also success, but the deterrence, discouragement, avoidance, de-escalation, that's also success. And I don't know if you have any way to track that. Do you have any kind of metrics for, we went to this address and then there was no follow-up, that nothing else had to be done? Because I know, well, we've been to that address 10 times, and then there was a homicide, and that's a horrible story. But do you have a way of measuring success as avoidance or crimes that didn't happen?
It's interesting because we were standing up. We just stood up the co-responder unit with the Lakeview Center.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only about 2 weeks
old. For behavioral health stuff.
Behavioral health. What we're tracking, though, the metrics we're tracking is we have multiple calls to a house. It's 13, 14, 16, on and on and on. Multiple Baker Acts.
Yeah.
And then we stood up this unit. We actually have the deputy that is co-responding with the Lakeview Center has been working for about 6 months now and has been doing follow-ups. And so we're tracking that metrics, and we do have cases, homes, where it's gone to zero, just because we have that deputy that's conducting follow-up.
That's awesome. That's
We're
great.
We're partnering with University of West Florida to track those metrics. We had a meeting with them, started a couple months ago, with I love partnering with University of West Florida. They've done a number of studies. When I was the chief of police, they helped
the Haas
staffing
Center.
Studies, the Haas Center.
Yeah, they're fabulous.
And in this case, it's Hassan Bukhar, which works in criminal justice.
Okay.
It's just phenomenal. So they're sending in interns. We'll go through, you know, are we asking the right questions? How do we follow up on that? Just how successful is this going to be? Because a lot of money goes into it, federal dollars that are pouring into that co-responder unit model. And we want to measure how successful it is. Are we asking the right questions from the very beginning? So that partnership with the University of West Florida is going to be beneficial. It'll and take a year or more, 18 months, before we really get an accurate picture of it.
But. Right. And I mean, of course, tracking these things takes time and getting the data analyzed takes time. I was even thinking about things like, you know, the area around Diego Circle has been in the news a lot lately. And it made me think of, you know, do you track that over time? And do you try different tactics of we're going to send patrol around, you know, every 2 hours, every hour, and see if that makes a difference. You know, that's the kind of stuff I was thinking about, that kind of experiment and get results. And,
you know, the surveillance vans that kind of laughingly do it, but it's successful.
But very deployed at Blue Angels. I saw you had several solar-powered ones, and then you also had the van. I saw the van,
And you had the nuisance houses where, you know, the indication maybe there's some narcotics using or selling, and our narcotics unit can't get in there for whatever reason, or it's just loud music or whatever the nuisance complaint is, we put that surveillance van out there and it would go to zero.
Yeah.
And so, yes, to answer your question, I don't know where we're measuring it. It's difficult to measure how many crimes did we deter today. But I can tell you we track the parties that will go on year. So May party or whatever, this party,
right, the annual
year
event,
after year
right.
year. And we have, we're, our real-time crime center is tracking that, the intel unit's tracking that. So we said, hey, the last 3 years we've had, you know, 800 people show up here and we've had a number of shootings. We're taking the initiative. Last year we started doing it and it's gone to
let's
zero.
Go there before we get called there.
And it's gone to zero.
Good.
So it is absolutely, there's most cost effective, say not cost effective, but the best crime prevention tool is uniformed police officer.
Yeah.
It's just
being on the
you
scene.
You can imagine. That's
people,
it.
Yeah, standing people behave. They drive the speed limit when you guys are near. I mean, that's just true. We're talking to Tommy Leiter, Chief Deputy for the for the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly right now. If you are on Highway 29 south of the Super Walmart all the way down to Detroit Boulevard going southbound, that's pretty well jammed up right now. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. You guys also did a recognition for a canine streeter, who was the dog who jumped over the ledge chasing the bad guy after the shooting that killed that elderly woman about a month or so ago, I think now.
Yep.
Nice to recognize the canine. Did he get extra good treats, I hope?
He did, yes. You know, I was a canine handler for a number of years, and it's
you've done everything.
It seems like
you've done SWAT. You've done rescue diving.
Yeah,
you've done
boat team.
Yeah,
SWAT team, street crimes. But I've been policing for 34 years, so it has been a wonderful career. I'm still going. So
yeah,
right. It is a wonderful career. But yeah, streeter. So the canines. When you're watching that video, you can see the dog zero in on the suspect. You can watch their ears. They'll actually go up. It's called targeting. And then they'll go back down. And you can see the minute he does it that he's on, he's going to follow that guy anywhere. Sure enough, he jumps over that bridge and you kind of collectively hold your breath because you know it's 40 feet.
Right.
That's 40 feet. I wasn't aware when you look at it, you know, there's water and then it's not water. The shore stops it and that's where two of them fell. The one died. So when you see that dog go over there, you're like, oh, this
you're holding your breath,
end.
Right.
This is not going to end well. And the whole time that we're looking for the other guys, that dog's swimming out looking for his suspect. He was
he's still going for the bad guy.
He's still targeting looking for that guy. So
that's amazing.
It's pretty cool to watch the canines.
I did. I mentioned just a moment ago, but the I didn't realize that you have a dive team for not only police department, but at the Escambia Sheriff's Office, well, and boat as well. But tell me more, because I didn't. Yeah. I just didn't realize. It makes sense, but I didn't realize.
So we actually gave that when Sheriff Simmons was the chief of police. We gave the dive team and the boat team to the sheriff's office.
Okay.
It's expensive to maintain, and we just weren't getting the calls for service. So Escambia County Sheriff's Office is the regional dive team.
Okay.
The county dive team also. Phenomenal divers. We actually were out there with that missing child, the autistic mm-hmm. child that mm-hmm. drowned. It was our dive team that went in those lakes and found him. We had
okay.
three different lakes, and it's sad to see that stuff. But that,
so that's what they're doing is looking for if a cargo's in the water, or if you're looking for a person or evidence, or you know somebody throws a gun over the bridge, that kind of thing.
Exactly. Yep. They'll find a body. Anything to do with water, they're in it. You'd mentioned cars. That seems to be pretty common.
Yeah.
Evidence is pretty common. And then they have tools. They have side scan sonar, so we can pull the sonar across and locate bodies or cars or something.
Really?
Like that.
Huh. Okay. Makes sense.
The water is big enough, and then we'll send a diver in the water. So it is. As I said, I did it a number of years, and it's hard. It's a unique experience. It elicits its own emotions. You can't see me on the radio, but
I can tell you're reacting to what you remember. Yeah.
You think about you're looking for some lost child. Mm-hmm. In a pond that was zero visibility. You can't see your hand, so it's all feel. So you're moving along, just kind of looking, and then you're all of a sudden you're right upon this little, you know, this four-year-old little kid, and it's like, oh, I was hoping not to find something in here,
right.
Actually. So it's a peripheral job, secondary. So they're patrol officers, they're detectives, their full-time job is policing, and then their secondary job, like our SWAT team, is diving on top of all the training evolution. So it's a heavy lift. And what they do is it matters. Like you'd mentioned, you didn't even know we had a dive team. I think most people listening to it didn't even think we have a dive team. But
right.
It's just part of that conversation of how much we're doing behind the scenes.
And then,
not busy.
Yeah, there's always
may not
stuff.
Be newsworthy kind of thing.
And I mean, that's the activity of daily policing. And, you know, it's obviously somebody's doing the dive rescue stuff. And you think, well, who does it? Oh, I don't know, but I guess the shit makes sense. I did want to ask you, just because you were the chief police, now chief deputy, we've obviously been talking a lot with everybody who, all the police are talking about the Secret Service, the failure, the assassination attempt on President Trump. And you and I were talking before you came on the air, and you said something interesting. I think everybody will understand about having worked these details and the men and women on the front line as opposed to the management.
Exactly. Yeah, I've interacted with a number of Secret Service agents over the course of my career, and not just protecting the president. They also work fraud and forgeries and mm-hmm. crimes against banking. Every single time, 100% of the time when I interact with those agents, they are phenomenal people, well-trained, dedicated to their job, just especially their SWAT team. We interact with a SWAT team. A lot of them are former military, mm-hmm. you know, special forces guys. These guys are top tier.
I've heard some pretty impressive numbers about their accuracy distances. If they see a problem, the problem isn't going to be there.
And that, you know, that the failure on this was at the top. You can see, mm-hmm. you can hear that. You had mentioned it listening to her talk it in front of Congress. And it was just, you could see where the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an easier fix, in my opinion, because if you have you see some of the failures in law enforcement, you have the George Floyd, that kind of stuff.
Right.
The question is, if it's a deputy or an officer or an agent on the bottom, the question then is it systemic?
Right.
Because it's not just top. Is it an individual person? But oftentimes what you'll find is it's not necessarily the top. It's always the leadership. But mm-hmm. if how far down does it go? Where at the Secret Service, I don't think it does. I think it's the top. You replace the top, which I suspect is going to happen, and then it's a much easier fix.
And that, which to me is reassuring as we're all talking about the Secret Service failure, you know, the issue of where is the competence, and the competence at the level of the ordinary person, an ordinary officer, is very high. And as you say, it's a lot easier to fix if the problem is in the management. And then the question is, well, how did they get there, and how can we get better people in there? And, you know, is that a byproduct of being political appointees and all the other things that come along with it?
And there's, you know, the three fixes for this: leadership, leadership, leadership.
Mm.
And they've got to address, obviously, that leadership net. Responsibility matches authority. Mm-hmm. If that sniper didn't have the authority to address that threat, he mm-hmm. can't be responsible for it.
Right.
So who's responsible? Who ultimately can say, hey, you got to take that guy out? That's the guy that ultimately has the authority to do that, then he's ultimately responsible. And it's above that poor guy that was on the end of that rifle, that was on the radio saying, hey, we got a problem over here. And you know, how disheartening was that?
Right.
for him to have that conversation and not be able to act on it.
To know what was going on and not be able to immediately take action under whatever circumstance that turns out to have been.
I don't have the concerns moving forward that you hear it on the radio. It's like, oh my gosh, how bad is this? And having interacted with them and, you know, like I said, 34 years in policing, some at the pretty high levels, looking at that from the outside, I think we're going to be just fine. We'll address the top.
As long as we make a few changes.
We got to make some changes.
Key changes at the top. All right, very interesting. Tommy Leiter, he is the chief deputy for the Escambia County Sheriff's Office here in studio with me today. Chip was out. But Tommy, always good to have you on the radio. I super appreciate it. And thanks for doing what you do to keep us safe and keep us informed, man.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
Absolutely. 7:55 here on News Radio Pensacola. We got traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. On Highway 29, stretching from the Walmart Supercenter all the way down to Detroit Boulevard, we're seeing some major delays there. Other than that, traffic's flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Wade Men's Health exists for guys who get it done. Let's talk, fellas. You solve problems all day at work. You fix your sink when it's broken. But when it comes to ED and low T, it doesn't get done. We get it. You hate going to the doctor, but you're the guy that fixes things. At Wade Men's Health, there's nothing to fear and no reason to delay. We've been destroying bedroom boredom for years. Our friendly, discreet team of urologists and providers will take the time to listen. So if you haven't fixed this, call us. When the pills fail, call us. If you feel like you've tried everything, call us. Here, there's hope, from the conventional to the next level. Imagine finally taking care of this with no surgery. Imagine going from feeling gray to living life in vibrant color. It's time to be confident. Join the thousands of guys who have found success after walking through our doors. Will you be one of them? Dial 850-266-7020 or go to WaveMensHealth.com to schedule a $99 male performance consultation, including blood work. Do it for you. Do it for her. WaveMensHealth.com. Book your appointment now.
Making the wrong choice can be very costly. Choosing the wrong plumbing company can cost you a lot of money. Hi, I'm Judy Lacey with Barbieri Plumbing, and we've been repairing Pensacola's plumbing problems for over 50 years. We are the local originator of the flat rate pricing system, so you don't have to pay by the hour, and there are no surprises. When you need a plumber, make the right choice and call Barbieri Plumbing. We will make your plumbing great again.
License number RF11067749.
Let's get to the points. MasterCard reward points from Pinair Credit Union. Open a new account today and you can earn 20,000 free reward points in the first 90 days. Use those points for travel, merchandise, even cash back. And with no hidden fees and no balance transfer fees, Pinair's reward MasterCard fits you perfectly. Get started online at pinair.org/creditcards. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions may apply. Offer available on new accounts only. See website for details.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Sundays, you get Christian Outlook at 7, Ask the Preacher at 8, Town Hall Review, Fox News Sundays a weekend, Tech It Out, and Gun Talk at 8.
22, I got involved with the Russian Mafia. Here's how it happened.
Good morning, 7:58 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. I just saw this on Facebook. It had to make me laugh. Whenever I have to fill out a form that asks who to call in case of emergency, I always put ambulance. Because nobody in my family is going to answer a call from an unknown number. And that's just true. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
That's just solid advice,
that is,
I think.
That's just logic right there.
Absolutely. Former President Trump was on Fox News yesterday to discuss his Pennsylvania rally.
There were some mistakes, but I can tell you this, just to go on the more positive side, the people on the stage were unbelievable and brave. They were all Secret Service that came running up, and they were running past bullets. Bullets were, when I went down, bullets were coming over my head, and you hear them. It's like zip, zip. So I'm lucky I went down fast, but I don't even consider that the lucky part. I consider the lucky part turning exactly right in the one position where, you know, you're going to get hit here, but you're not going to get hit in the wrong location, which is, you know what that is.
And Trump joined by his VP pick, J.D. Vance, during that interview. And have you noticed he seems more positive on a lot of his...
I thought in an earlier clip that he played, it sounded like his voice was gravelly and different. But I agree with that. And also, I would say this. He said he was never going to talk about this again.
Well, he's talked about it a few times now.
Yeah. So remember at the convention, he said, I'm going to talk about this one time because it's too painful. Talking about it might make it less painful.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Any phone when you switch to consumer...